Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. And in this message, I want to point out that we do well to examine more closely the lives of the heroes in the Hall of Faith. They were people just like us, human just like us, had their discouragements and disappointments, had their failures, had their victories, but we would do well to take the time to slow down and examine more closely the lives of some of these individuals that we realize are in the Hall of Faith. You take a man like Moses, Joshua, Gideon, David, and so many more. Now, they all had their moments of doubt. They all had their moments of discouragement. They had their failures as well as their victories. In this time together, I want us to look closely at the father of our faith, Abraham. If you have ears to hear, there's much to be learned, and there's much to encourage the children of God as we examine more closely the life of Abraham. In the first part of the message, we want to talk about how Abraham was reckoned as righteous. What did he do? Why did he become reckoned as righteous in the sight of God? How does that apply to us? So we want to look at how he became accounted as righteous in the sight of God. And then we want to take a look as well as his receiving the promises of God. Because you and I have to be reckoned as righteous in the same way that he did. And we have promises. We have promises from God. So I want us to look very closely at his life. And let me say this to you. If you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, there's much to be learned, much to encourage any child of God. So towards that end, we turn our Bibles now to Romans chapter 4. Father God, I'm trying to hear you clearly and obey you. That's my heart's desire, to believe, to obey, to submit, to surrender, to hear you clearly, to obey you, and to do for you what you would have me do for you, and to be to you what you would have me to be to you. And I'm trying to do that right now, Father. And Lord, I believe I'm talking to people that likewise want to be to you all they can be to you. They want to do for you all you would have them do for you. So I'm asking you to stir the hearts of each of us. Give us ears to hear. Help us to receive the truth in this word concerning Abraham. Anoint us, I pray, to not only receive it, to believe it, but to practice it, to experience it. And this I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. In Romans 4:1, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? What did Abraham discover concerning how to be reconciled to God? So many today are searching for that. So many have been misled thinking they have been reconciled to God, and so many are searching for a way to be reconciled to God. So let's look at how Abraham discovered how to be reconciled to God. Now keep in mind that the first Jew was a Gentile, because Abraham is the first Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a heathen living among heathens in a heathen nation. Romans 4:2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What he's saying is, if Abraham had been reconciled to God by self-effort, well, then he'd have had something to boast about. If Abraham accomplished that which was accomplished by self-effort, he has something to boast about. But he was not reconciled to God by self-effort. He did not accomplish what he accomplished by self-effort. Therefore, he has nothing to brag about. So then, how was Abraham reconciled to God? And why was he accounted as righteous by God? Romans 4:3. For what does the scripture say? Here it is. Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believed God. And because Abraham believed God, listen to me carefully, he obeyed God. Because he believed, he obeyed. That says it all about Abraham, doesn't it? He believed and he obeyed. At the word of the Lord, he packed up, left home. The word of God says he went out not knowing where he was going. He was just trusting God to fulfill his promise. God had made a promise to him. We find in Genesis 12:2, God speaking to Abraham said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How so? Well, it was through the seed of Abraham that the Messiah was going to come. So, of course, all the families of the earth are blessed through the coming of the Messiah. Genesis 12:4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now we come back to Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. You see, there are those today trying in some way to make God indebted to them. They are trying in some way to, by their own effort, to reconcile themselves to God. And they try to do this through religious self-effort. They try to avoid accepting God's plan of salvation. You must be born again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They do it by trying to avoid the cross. Now, they may work the cross into their system, but realistically, they're trying to avoid making the cross of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the sole means by which they can be reconciled to Holy God. So, they try to avoid accepting God's plan of salvation. We cannot, listen to me carefully, we cannot under any circumstances make God indebted to us. He owes us nothing. He owes us absolutely nothing. In Psalms 8:4, the psalmist said, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? He's saying, why does God even concern himself with wicked, sinful mankind? As the posterity of Adam and Eve, that's what we are. It's what we were, it's what we are. Just wicked, sinful mankind. The psalmist is concerned that he would care enough to send his son to the cross for mankind. That is beyond our understanding. Why would holy God, who has everything at his disposal, why would he care enough about sinful, wicked mankind to send his only begotten son to the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind? That is beyond our understanding. We cannot comprehend it. But why does he do it? He does it out of love for all of mankind. That's a love, people of God. That's a love that many of us, if not all of us, have trouble comprehending. It's just hard for us to comprehend that kind of love. Why God would become flesh, go to the cross, be crucified, take upon himself the sins of all who would believe out of love. That's just hard for us to comprehend. Romans 4, 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. What's he saying? Those who do not try to earn reconciliation with God, but simply believe and receive Christ Jesus as their Savior, their faith in Christ Jesus makes them righteous. They believe. They receive. That makes them righteous. Romans 4, 6. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Apart from works. That individual to whom God imputes, accounts as, makes righteous, apart from works. David spoke of that in Psalms 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Let me read you that in another translation. Yes, what joy for those whose record of the Lord has been cleared of all guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. What a wonderful blessing. What a blessing to know that your sins are forgiven, your past sins have been forgotten, and that the Lord does not view you as a sinner in his sight because of your relationship to his Son, Christ Jesus. Because you have acknowledged your sinfulness, come to Christ, asking Christ to forgive you, come into your heart, be your Lord, be your Savior. Yes, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Romans 4, 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You see, when you come to Christ, receiving Christ as your Savior, believing that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he went to the cross as a sacrifice for your sins, died, took your sins upon himself, put those sins to death in himself. When you do that, your sins, your lawless deeds are forgiven. God forgives every single solitary sin you've ever committed. How are they covered? By the blood. Those sins are covered by the blood. Baptismal waters cannot cleanse us from sin. Water cannot cleanse from sin. Only the blood. Romans 4, 8. Blessed is that man that the Lord does not impute sin. Why? He's a new creation. He's now a child of God, been adopted into the family of God, made a believer priest, a new creation. Now look at Romans 4, 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Did you catch that? Listen carefully now. Does this blessedness, having sins forgiven, does this blessedness, being accounted righteous by God, before God, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, on Jews? Paul is saying, is it only available to Jews? Or is it upon the uncircumcised also? Is it for the circumcised as well as the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. It was his faith. It was his willingness to believe God. So Paul is making a point here to the Jews. He's saying, is this blessing of God for Jews, the circumcised only? Or Is it for the Gentiles? The uncircumcised as well. He goes on to say, we acknowledge it was because of Abraham's faith that God acknowledged him as righteous. It was Abraham's faith. Abraham believed God. Abraham received the promise of God, believed the promise of God, acted on the promise of God, obeyed the promise of God, and therefore was accounted righteous. Look at verse 10 of Romans 4. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. Notice this. Was he considered righteous because he was circumcised? No. No. He was counted righteous while he was still uncircumcised. I told you that the first Jew was a Gentile. Understand this and listen carefully. Listen carefully. Justification, if you will, preceded his circumcision. Did you hear me? Being made right with God, being accounted right with God, being accounted righteous with God, justification. Justification preceded his circumcision, just as justification precedes baptism. Justification precedes baptism. Justification doesn't follow baptism. Justification doesn't come because one has been baptized. No. One is baptized because they have been justified. They have received Christ as their Savior. They have been made right with God. And you cannot be made right with God by baptism or by christening. Baptism, when possible, follows after righteousness is imputed by faith in Christ Jesus. It is after one comes to Christ Jesus, is born again, that is when righteousness is imputed by faith in Christ Jesus, then comes baptism. And circumcision was a symbol of God's covenant with Abraham. God entered into that covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. So the point Paul is making here is that Abraham was counted righteous before God because he believed the word of God, he received the word of God, and he obeyed the word of God. He was justified before he was circumcised. Justification came before circumcision. Justification has to occur before baptism in order for baptism to be valid. And as I said, circumcision was a symbol of God's covenant with Abraham that God entered into with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. Now, circumcision was later codified in the law, but it did not originate in the law. It originated in the covenant agreement that God made with Abraham. We come to Romans 4:11. And he, that's Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Folks, don't let Romans 4:11 escape you. Abraham received the sign of circumcision. This was a seal, a sign of the righteousness of the faith which he had. But he was still uncircumcised. He was counted justified, accounted righteous before God while he was still uncircumcised. Justification again came before circumcision. Why? That he might be the father of all those who believe, Jew or Gentile. That he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, Gentiles, and righteousness might be imputed to them also. So he is the God of the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, the God of the circumcised, the Jews. He was accounted righteous because of his faith. He believed God. Now, I'm leading up to something. Please listen carefully. I'm leading up to something because so many in the body of Christ today are suffering needlessly, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically, are suffering needlessly, and that's why I want you listening carefully. Now, I realize I'm laying down a very firm groundwork here for how an individual becomes reconciled to Holy God, how sinful man becomes reconciled to Holy God. It is through faith in Christ Jesus, faith in the Word of God. Abraham believed the Word of God, and he was accounted righteous because of his faith. Why? Because he believed God, even to the point of his willingness to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. You recall that God had told Abraham it was a test. People, listen to me. Life is full of tests. Life is full of trials. You have to be tested. You have to be tried for your faith to develop. You cannot sit back and whistle while life passes you by and develop faith. Once you come to Christ, you have got to be tested. Your faith has got to be tested. And I'm talking to some people today, your faith is being tested right now. Your faith is being tried right now. Some of you are coming through trials at one level, and it's maybe not that big a thing. But others are coming through trials or testing that are of major importance in their lives. They are of a concern in their life, a great concern in their lives. So understand this. Abraham was willing to trust God. He was willing to believe God. Willing to do whatever God said, including up to taking his son Isaac and offering his son Isaac as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice to God. He and Isaac went up the mountain together. And Isaac said, "Father, where's the lamb?" Abraham said, "God will provide." But you see, Abraham is going up that mountain with every intent of getting on top of that mountain, explaining things to his son, binding his son, laying his son on the altar, killing his son, start a fire, burn him to ashes if need be, and expect God to raise him up out of the ashes and restore him. That's faith. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had. He had the faith to the point. Here again. His willingness to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And he was accounted righteous while still uncircumcised. Before circumcision, he was counted righteous before God. Why? So he could be the father of all who believe, both circumcised and uncircumcised, both Jew and Gentile, so that he could be the father of us all. He could be the father of the faith for each and every one of us, whether we be Jew or Gentile, and that righteousness might be imputed to all who believe. No preacher can impute righteousness. No pope, no priest, no pope, no cardinal, no bishop, no pastor, no preacher. None of us can impute righteousness. Only God can declare one to be righteous. And he does that on the basis of the receiving Christ Jesus, believing Christ Jesus, and just simply submitting and surrendering. You know, four words can really sum it up. And I may say that again before this message is over. Submit to the Lord, surrender to the Lord and submit, believe and obey. And so much of us are failing there. So much of the church has not surrendered, has not truly submitted, has not truly believed, has not truly obeyed, and suffering because of that. But Abraham, the father of all who believe, both the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Why? That righteousness might be imputed by God to all who believe. What do I mean by all who believe? Those who've been born again. Those who understand they're not worthy of God's mercy, not worthy of God's grace, not worthy of God's love, not worthy of the blood of Christ on the cross, not worthy, but who come to Christ, who come before God in the name of Christ, who come to Christ confessing, I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm a sinner, but I want to be born again. And I realize the only way I can be reconciled to holy God is by being born again, by receiving you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. So I'm coming to you, Jesus, as a sinner, acknowledge I'm a sinner, asking you, come into my heart, come into my life. I'm inviting you in. Be my Lord, be my Savior, save my soul, forgive my sins, cleanse me, and make me one of your own. That's what we mean by all who believe. Not just those who are religiously active, not those who've just been christened or baptized. No, all who have been born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Now we come to Romans 4:12. Speaking of Abraham, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, watch this now, but also who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Abraham is the father of the circumcised, the Jews, if they also have the faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. We call him the father of the faith. The father of the faith. The faith of all of those who have believed. The faith of all those who have truly received. And you see, your life is going to reveal whether or not you have truly received and believed. Why? Because when you come to Christ, he changes all of your likes, all of your dislikes. He makes you a new creation. All things become new. You become a new creation, friend, when you're born again. You no longer want to go where you used to go. You no longer want to be a part of what you used to be a part of. You no longer want to do what you used to do. No, not when you're born again. So Abraham is the father of the circumcised, the Jews, if they also have the faith that Abraham had before he was circumcised. That faith is demonstrated in the same way Abraham demonstrated his faith. How did he demonstrate his faith? Through obedience. Through obedience. He believed. He obeyed. That is how faith is demonstrated today. Through obedience. Not partial obedience. I understand that many of you have not yet come to a better understanding of who you are in Christ. And that's sad. Understand that. I understand that I'm talking to people today that many of you have not come to a better, a more full understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus, of the authority that's available to you, of the power that's available to you, of the blessings that are available to you. I understand that. Because so many of you have not been grounded in the Word of God. You have not been discipled. You have not yet believed because so many of you have not yet been taught what to believe. Faith is demonstrated by the believer of today in the same way that Abraham demonstrated his faith. It's done through obedience. And I say again, many of you today simply do not know what you are to obey. Now, we know that you don't have to obey the law. God did not bring you out of a bondage of sin to bring you into a bondage of religion. No. We were delivered from the law. We have been delivered from the law. We could never live up to the demands of the law, the Mosaic law. We could never live up to the demands. And yet, so many expressions of the religious community have incorporated into their doctrine a system of religious laws that put people in bondage. You've got to do this way and be this way. And I mean, some of them even tell you not to eat meat on Friday. You can eat fish, but don't eat meat on Friday. There is so much confusion. There is so much conflict. Why complicate it? Why complicate the walk with Jesus? Why complicate the walk with Holy God by simply submitting and surrendering to a lot of rules and rituals and regulations in some expression of the religious community? God delivered us from the law. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled every single law. Jesus could look at his detractors and say, which one of you? That bunch of religious Pharisees that were so bound up under the law. Oh, we do this and with this. Paul said he obeyed the law. He said that Paul did everything he could to live up to the standard of the law. But he found out that wouldn't satisfy. Read Romans 7. It couldn't satisfy. He had to come through the stages of spiritual growth, just like you and I. He had to come through the stages of spiritual growth. That is what Romans 7 is all about, as far as I can tell. It is about his coming through the different levels of spiritual growth, and some of you are still at a basic level. You have not yet grown. You're not maturing. You're not becoming more of who Christ died to make you. You have not yet understand who you can be and what you can be and all you can be. You have not yet understood how to become more of what Christ wants you to be. And it's all done through discipleship. It's done through faith. It's done through obedience. You see, that is the way Abraham demonstrated his faith. You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Through obedience. Through obedience. And so much of the church is not there. So much of the church is not there. But you see, that is how faith in Jesus Christ is demonstrated today. Through obedience. You receive the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. And you obey the Word of God. How many times have I said this? You're driving down the street. You see a speed limit that says speed limit 45 mile per hour. You're doing 55 or 60. You see a police car sitting up there with radar. You tap the brakes. Why? You know you're wrong. And you believe he'll write you a ticket. You believe he will stop you and write you a ticket. So what do? You slow down. Why don't you slow down long enough to realize what God has said? What God has said you are once you come to Christ. I didn't say once you're involved in a religious community. I said once you come to Christ. Why don't you take the time to find out who you are in Christ Jesus? The Word of God says you're a child of God, adopted in the family, a believer priest, a new creation. Why don't you take the time to find out who you are, what you are, and what is available to you? Did you hear me? This is not name and claim it. This is the Word of God I'm teaching you, and I'm going to show you in a few moments. I'm going to show you from the Word of God why and how you can become what you need to become and receive more and more and more of the blessings of God. Hearts, the bottom line. The bottom line is believe and obey. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. Receive, believe, and obey. Romans 4:13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. See? It wasn't through the obedience to the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Why? You see, the promise that God made to Abraham was not based on the law, on his obeying the law, his obedience to the law. Why? There was no law. There was no law yet in existence. The law was not even in existence when God made this promise to Abraham. So it couldn't be obedience to the law. And I'm talking to people today who are trying so hard to be reconciled to God, to know the peace of God, to know oneness with God, out of striving to obey a system of religion which will never please God. Obedience to that system of religion that you're so caught up in will never be pleasing to God. Here again, God made the promise he made to Abraham not based on the law, but based on Abraham, believe what I'm saying to you. Receive what I'm saying. Believe what I'm saying. Obey what I'm saying. I say again, the law was not yet in existence when this promise was made. The promise was made through righteousness, through faith. Abraham, receive, believe, faith, and you'll receive the promise. What was true then is true today. It was then, it is today. The promise of being made righteous was obtained through faith. Faith in what God had said. Faith in what God had promised. And that's the same thing that's true today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's some promises out there that I think most of the church is a little bit intimidated by. They're almost afraid to claim them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Whatsoever we shall ask believing, that also shall we receive. But folks, there's a host of us that are still struggling with that. Romans 4:14, moving on. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of no effect. If righteousness could be obtained through self-effort, faith is of no value, whatever. Faith has no value. If you could obtain, if you could, obtain righteousness with God through self-effort, faith would be of no value whatever. If righteousness could be obtained through religious activity, through religious involvement, then faith is of no value and the promise is of no value. Romans 4:15. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. You see, disobedience to the law brought judgment. It did. Disobedience to the law incurred the judgment of God. But where there is no law to violate, there can be no violation of the law. Did you hear me? Where there is no law, where there's no law to violate, there could be no violation of the law, and there was no law to violate when the promise was made to Abraham. There was no law for him to violate. But Abraham was counted righteous because of his faith. He believed, he received. And Abraham was counted righteous before the law was given. Abraham, long time before Moses. Moses gave us the law. No. Abraham was counted righteous before the law was given, based on what? His faith and his obedience. Based on his faith and his obedience. Romans 4:16. Therefore, It is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Righteousness is obtained through faith according to the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. In that way, you see, the promise is to all the seed. The promise is to all of mankind, folks. It is to all of mankind, not only to the Jews, but to all who will believe, to all, regardless of the depravity of their sin, regardless of the perversity of their sin, regardless of the magnitude of their sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, once you're saved, adopted in the family of God, everything in God's warehouse of promises and blessings is yours. Did you hear me? How is it obtained? Through faith. By believing, by receiving, through faith. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Notice what God is saying. Abraham, it's an accomplished thing. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That is power, folks. Did you get that verse? God says, as it is written, I have made you. It's a done deal. Abraham already decided. I chose you, Abraham. You didn't choose me. I chose you. The same is true of those of us who've been born again. We didn't choose God. God chose us. God chose us. Called us, chose us. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's how he created the universe, folks. He just spoke things into existence that did not exist. That takes us back to God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17. In Genesis 17:4, God speaks to Abraham saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. Now the name Abram means high or exalted father. But Abraham means the father of a multitude. Father of nations, if you will. Now we come to some deep water. This is deep water. And I've been working what I've been working and teaching what I've been teaching to add to this, but to get us to this point. Now listen to me carefully. Romans 4:18. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Who against hope, believed in hope. What's he saying? He believed against all odds. He believed against all odds in the natural. In the natural, he had absolutely no reason for hope. He was 75 years old when he left Haran. In the natural, and some of you are there today, some of you are facing situations and conditions financially, physically, emotionally, relationally, that in the natural you have absolutely no reason for hope in the natural. But Abraham believed, who against hope believed in hope, he believed against all odds, what? That he might become the father of many nations. Now don't forget, at this time he is advanced in age and childless. He has no child. He's advanced in age, but against hope, against all odds, he continued to hope believe, hope, believe. Why did he do that? Why did he keep hoping and believing? According to all that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He took God at his word. He took God at his word. He received the word of God. He believed the word of God. Took God at his word. Look at verse 19 of Romans 4. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And being not weak in faith, I don't know how God manifested himself to Abraham. I know how he manifested him to others at other times. I know later how he manifested himself to Abraham when he appeared in a pre-incarnate form. But initially, originally, I don't know how God got Abraham's attention. But there was some revelation of God to Abraham. Well, he's manifested himself to me in different areas of my life. He's done the same for many of you. But being not weak in faith, Abraham's faith developed out of his obedience. That's how he developed the faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. His faith was developed out of his taking God at his word. He believed God, folks. He believed God. And he obeyed God. And because he believed and because he obeyed, he witnessed the results of his obedience. And then through faith, you see, it was his obedience, his believing, and his obedience that helped him develop his faith. I've lived this. I have personally lived this. Just had to take God at his word, believe his word, and obey his word, even when I could not see where the next step was taking me. I have lived this. I have believed this. I've lived it. I've experienced it. So I know what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with me. It's God's goodness, God's greatness, God's mercy, God's faithfulness. God is faithful. His word. Just his word. Just going to his word and getting to know his word and letting his word establish your thoughts and your steps, your actions, your reactions, simply obeying God. And then there's the inner voice, the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. At times, it's nothing more than a check in the spirit or a peace in the spirit. Sometimes that's all it is. In John 16:13, what did Jesus say? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Folks, intimacy, communion, fellowship, believing, receiving, spending time with God, spending time quiet before God, in communion, in intimacy, in fellowship, getting to know the Word of God, examining your heart, filtering out everything in your heart that you know is contrary to the Word of God and the character of Christ, discussing with Him all of your failure, your resentments, any sin in the life, your unbelief, your doubt, your fear, talking to Him about it, confessing it. Once again in 4:19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He considered not his own body, now dead. He did not let the reality of the circumstances hinder his faith. Did you hear me? Some of you are there. You are facing some reality. some harsh reality that's a great concern to you. He did not let the reality of his circumstances weaken his faith or hinder his faith. He did not deny reality. He recognized, I'm an old man. I'm 100 years old. I'm beyond the age of siring children. My wife is beyond the age of having children. He did not let reality, I'm talking to you, listen to me. He did not let reality, the reality of what was in his life and himself and his wife, he did not let that reality hinder his life, hinder his belief, or his obedience. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He did not allow the reality of his circumstances nor the largeness of the promise of God to cause him to stumble or to stagger. Neither one. He did not let the reality, he did not let the harshness of the reality, he did not let his circumstances, he did not let the largeness, the greatness, the bigness of the promise of God to cause him to stumble or to struggle. Which of God's promises are you having problems with? Huh? Which is it? Which of God's promises are you having a problem with? He remained firm. He remained firm, thereby bringing glory to God. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. There was no doubt in his mind that what God had promised, he could do, and he would do. No doubt. And therein lies our problem many times. Many times we say, well, I don't doubt that he can, or at least we give lip service to that. We say we don't doubt that he can. We just doubt that he will. Isn't that true? Am I not speaking today to those of you who say, I don't doubt that God can. I think he's omniscient. I think he's omnipresent. I think he's sovereign. I think he could do anything he wants to do. But I just doubt that he will, even though I've got a promise. Even though I've got a promise laying in my lap in the Bible, even though I've got the promise from God, I'm not real sure that he will. That's called unbelief, friend. That's called unbelief. Abraham was counted as righteous by God. Why? Because he believed and he obeyed. You can do that, can't you? Can't you do that? Are you willing? Let me ask you this. Are you willing to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what Abraham did? Are you willing to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to simply receive the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and obey the Word of God? I want to close with prayer. I want to pray for you. Will you let me pray for you? Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of declaring this word. I want to thank you that it's included in your word. I thank you that I can take you at your word. I want to thank you that each and every one of us who have been born again can take you at your word. I pray, Father God, today that you will strengthen some who have stumbled, some who have staggered, some who have faltered, even some who have fallen in their walk with you. I'm asking you to strengthen them, encourage them. I'm asking you, Father God, for a fresh revelation of your faith, of yourself to them in faith. A fresh revelation of yourself to them. Cause their faith to grow. Stir their hearts. Stir the hearts of each and every one who has heard this message to faithfulness, to believe, to receive, to simply receive the Word of God and believe the Word of God and obey the Word of God. And I'm asking you, Father, to work in each and every life of each and every one who will do this, who will confess to you, I believe, help my unbelief. Help them, I pray. Strengthen them. Encourage them. And I bless everyone listening to this message in their spirit, their soul, and their body. And I bless them in that name above every name, the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. I bless them with comfort and peace and relief. And yes, healing. Yes, healing. I speak healing to that marriage. I speak healing to that relationship. And I speak healing in the name of Jesus of Nazareth to that infirm body and to that body that is being infirmed. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing. And I bless you in the name above every name, Christ Jesus the Savior. Until we have a chance to do this again, keep praying, keep believing, and be blessed. God bless.